둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You'll get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists. Of course, you can grab us where you're listening from right now, anywhere you get your podcast from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Adrian Belew of King Crimson and David Bowie fame. Daniel Ash from Love and Rockets. Ash Avildsen and Emily Bett Rickards were here to talk about the movie Queen of the Ring. Denise Richards dropped in to talk about her new reality series on Bravo. I talked with Simple Minds, David Hornsby and Charlotte Nickdow about Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus. Jason Isbell, Taj Mahal, The Foo Fighters, Nadia Natasha, Creedence Clearwater Revival members, and Peyton List, who's starring in both School Spirits and Cobra Kai. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a special Rewind episode, a trio of my interviews with Damon Auburn, the restless architect of Britpop, animated bands, and boundary-pushing collaborations, from leading Blur through the highs and weirdness of the 90s to reinventing the game with Gorillaz. He's never been content to sit still, whether he's crafting melancholic ballads, Afrobeat-infused bangers, or experimental operas. Damon's genius has always lied in his ability to shapeshift while still sounding unmistakably like himself. And as I mentioned, it's a trio. We're going to start back in 2017 when Damon and I spoke about the Gorillaz album Humans, which he had been planning and writing before the 2016 presidential election with Trump, but with the idea of it happening in mind. It's part one of this Kyle Meredith With Rewind. It's Kyle Meredith with Damon Auburn.
From everything I've heard from this Gorillaz record, it's a cool record. I've got to say, though, it's fair to say that this is the most different-sounding Gorillaz record we've heard yet, right?
I don't know if there is a Gorillaz sound. So, I mean, you know, by very definition, it changes utterly every time we put a record out because it's totally new people.
That's true.
I mean, the only consistent thing, literally, from the first record to this one is me. Everything else has changed. All the people who've who work behind the scenes have changed every record. All the artists changed. Well, no, that's not true, actually. Myself and De La Soul are the only consistent things that have traveled through the five albums.
I guess it's that mood that you bring every time. That's the consistent sound for me. It is.
Yeah. Yes, I suppose so. My chords, my minor chords, maybe.
I guess it's this one, though, against everything, all the other records, this one almost seems more in line with pop music as a whole. And I don't know if I want to say contemporary pop, but there is something very contemporary about it as opposed to the other ones.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm really delighted if I've managed to do that, because, I mean, that is literally a fluke at my age. You can't really manufacture that. It's just either somehow you fall in with the zeitgeist or not. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I've heard you talk about this being a club record.
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to make an upbeat. You know, I wanted to use my kind of experience to make a club record, and I wanted a club record that had a narrative arc, so that you could put it on and feel like you've entered a kind of, you know, a movie of types.
Which is two things that don't play together a lot of times. Club records and storyline. Pop opera.
Pop opera. Well, I've been messing about with various forms of opera for a long time as well, but not on record.
What is the storyline this time around?
Well, it takes place in a non-linear way, sort of... inner city, maybe New York, but a kind of a generic city on post a traumatic kind of shift in what people believe in and how people see themselves and see the people around them in the near future. And I mean, you know, when you start a record like I did at the beginning of last year, I suppose I was kind of sort of, you know, I entered a dark fantasy where someone like Donald Trump ran for president and became president. Mm-hmm. And kind of strangely, as the sort of the closer I got to finishing the record, the closer that dark fantasy became reality. But, you know, it's not about Donald Trump. He's just a manifestation of that malign kind of sort of that malign sort of shift in how we feel about our surroundings and the people that we exist closely with, you know. And it's kind of, I wanted to make a record where people were out that night drinking and talking about communicating with each other, and the kind of that sense of uneasiness, but that sort of sense of exhilaration, because, you know, we all get kind of sort of slightly, I don't know, our adrenaline is affected regularly by the sort of crazy information loops that are projected out, you know, and the sort of the mistruths that get propagated, and the conversation, the madness of social media, and so yeah, all of those sort of things were in my head all the time, you know, and the conversations I had with all the artists that we collaborated with were kind of sort of, you know, initiated by imagine a night in the near future when you're out and something has happened that you never thought was possible. How would you feel about it?
And how do you deal with it with all the people around you?
How do you deal with it exactly? Yeah. How do you deal with it exactly? So that was it, but that's a loose narrative. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that was definitely a big kind of sort of starting point for every conversation with every artist. I mean, at the beginning, you know, when I was working in the beginning, they were going, "Oh yeah, well, obviously that's never going to happen," and then I've sort of got more and more kind of sort of emails at the end of the year going, you know, oh shit, it did happen.
Well, that's what I'm finding is a really interesting time, because a lot of artists that I'm talking to right now who've especially written, you know, similar themes and everything, it all started out as a what if, because every album that's releasing now was probably written at the beginning of the year. And
yeah.
So what wasn't it not exactly a protest song?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. That is interesting. And I mean, and I think obviously there's going to be a whole swathe of music that will come out sort of later this year from people who are reacting to the actual to it actually happening. You know, I was reacting to the idea of it happening, the sense, the sort of the energy in, you know, indefinable at first, but became more and more kind of sort of loud and became deafening and then became madness.
I mean, I can't help thinking of your title Demon Days suddenly.
Yes, no, well, I mean, there's a line. I mean, we sang that tune on Friday at our gig. It was the last tune we did, and, you know, there's a line in the chorus that goes, when lies become reality, you know, we drug ourselves with, we numb ourselves with drugs and TV. And I mean, it's, you know, that was written 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty, that could fit into the narrative now perfectly.
All right. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah, no. I've never... But I feel like you have to kind of face these things, you know, being to make popular music that's negative in a sense, or kind of full of, you know, deals with the sort of darker side of stuff. It's quite a challenge, because unfortunately most pop music is very saccharine and very sort of manufactured,
sure,
you know, and very very programmable, because, you know, a disc jockey on a kind of sort of a feel good, no pun intended, radio station in I don't know, wherever. I'm going to pick the middle of America just because it needs, that's kind of, that's right place. You know, they're not going to play a song that goes, and that was Demon Days. You know what I mean? They're just not, because it's like, where does that take their narrative in the middle of a sunny day in Texas? So it's quite difficult. It's quite a challenge.
Pulled it off. I mean, you
that
really
was did. That was I killed myself. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to happen. I want, that was your love so great. But I mean, I'm being very generalized, but you know what I mean.
I do.
It's quite hard to fit in with that sort of programmable music, which inevitably becomes the thing that the majority of people who don't necessarily search out other alternate kind of sort of realities, that's all they've got. That's all they're given. And that's what we're fighting always, that sort of giving people a sort of more breadth of experience through music, through art, through information, you know, and not allowing the kind of the malign forces of commercialism and misinformation to control everything.
And I guess for good reason, it seems like this has been on your mind for a while, and mine as well, because I don't know.
I think it's on any intelligent person's mind.
Sure, yeah.
How can it not be? It's kind of this, you know, we've been force-fed lies
for a while.
Yeah, and I mean the whole fucking global warming is not happening thing is just, that's really tragic, that.
And that's what we're hearing this morning about him, you know, being true to his threat about rolling back all the EPA bits
has the man actually traveled around the world? Has he actually seen the world? No, he hasn't. He's seen, you know, essentially his gilded penthouse, his gilded golf course, and things of that ilk.
Yeah.
He hasn't kind of camped out in the Brazilian rainforest. He hasn't walked through the back streets of Kinshasa. He hasn't. Do you know what I mean? The Ivory Tower, exactly.
Is it fair to draw a line, or maybe even a continuation from where you left off on Everyday Robots, and especially the themes there? Because that feels like this is the next step of that. Especially, I mean, playing two sides of the coin of Everyday Robots and humans.
Yeah, I suppose that they're connected, but I mean, it's kind of, it's still, both things are me, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think these are the ways that we communicate with each other now. So music kind of, and songwriting for me has to kind of go through that filter.
I think, I expect these two records will play nice together. And again, in the most unfortunate of ways, but as far as arts.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry to be on such a bummer, but at least this time I've made it like sound a bit more like a party.
It really is. And I want to bring up one of the first singles too, because We Got the Power is a great
That's positive. Song, that is positive.
Right. And especially following, I guess, Hallelujah Money, because, you know, for that to be the first sounds of the new Gorillaz and giving us a taste.
I mean, no one in their right mind sort of puts out the last song on a record as the first thing, you know. But you know, it was honestly written for the imaginary inauguration. So we had to sort of briefly air it on that day because that's what it was written for. It imagined that moment.
I mean, it would have been a missed opportunity otherwise.
It would have been a missed opportunity. But, I mean, I was aware that we were, confusing something, you know. But it's okay now. Hopefully everyone now understands that it is a part of the party record I said it was going to be.
Right.
And not a sort of free-fall waltz time with a kind of the ghost of Paul Robeson.
Party for the end of the world. That's the old line, right? Yeah. And I heard you got, the special guest on it with, I'm losing the name now, Jenny Beth. And I guess Noel Gallagher is on it as well.
Dram.
Right.
And Dram.
I mean, you had to know, by the
Dram
way,
on that.
You were going to blow up the internet once you announced that Noel was on the record as well. So, but there's something.
He's my mate, and it was kind of, you know, it was not easy to find a place for him on this record. For obvious reasons,
mm-hmm.
but that tune, you know, I think personally for the two of us, it was nice to sing that line, and it meant something.
Right, and I guess I would love to, you know, ask the very obvious question: we've got the power to what?
Be loving each other, no matter what happens. In the sense of, we've got the power to sort of see through all of the bullshit and just like. Treat each other like human beings, whoever we are, wherever we are.
And it's such a difficult idea right now for the division.
It seems to be, but it's the only way we're gonna ever sort of march in the same direction.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, we're not going to do it any other way, are we?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it's always worked.
It's not going to happen if we allow religion to kind of sort of. Dictate to us. It's not going to happen if we allow kind of commercial concerns to dictate to us. It's only going to happen if we're sort of humanist.
Of all of the socially reflective songs coming out, it has been nice to see the ones that are saying that are still kind of eyeing the whole game, but putting it in a positive light. You know, to try to bring.
Well,
it
that's
together.
Why I put it at the end of the album because it really didn't fit anywhere else. And in a way, it's a bit of the cuckoo in the nest, that one,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Does it
but
sound...
I kind of see it in my kind of sort of dark, twisted fantasy about, you know, yet another end of the world scenario. It's the title music at the end where, you know, at least you don't leave a cinema kind of thinking that all hope is lost.
It's the nice bow on it.
It's my Hollywood. It's my Hollywood ending, basically.
That's nice. Well, sometimes we need the Hollywood ending. It's true.
Yeah, we do. I like a Hollywood ending.
Do you? I don't know what you guys were going for specifically on the music for that one, but do you sense the nostalgia in the music? There's something about that song that actually takes me back to, you know, in your early days a little bit, and what was happening in the Brits
scene
at that point.
I mean, you know, at one point that song had Graham Coxon and Noel Gallagher and myself.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It was a testosterone fueled kind of sort of homage to the glory days of Britpop, guitars and everything, but it didn't fit on the record at all. And I was going to not even put it on the record. I just thought, well, maybe I'll do this at some other point in the future, but because it's not working. And then, you know, I realized that I should persevere with it. So I just stripped it down and took out all the rock elements to it and made it purely electronic. And then, you know, sort of. Because there's so many songs on the album which are kind of conversations between men and women, mm-hmm. I thought, let's find someone with a kind of sort of, you know, with their own power and their own sort of sense and vision of the world and, you know, make it something for everyone. So literally we've got the power, men and women, we've all got that to mm-hmm. work together.
Yeah, I love it. And it does. I mean, it does that nice thing. It there is something... you know, reminiscent about the whole thing, but it sounds very current. And I will use that silly word again, contemporary.
And also, you know, people in America are going to be able to say we've got the power of French.
Okay. There you are. Teaching us. We don't want to learn other languages.
Educational, positive and educational.
Speak American, Damon.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for talking today. I cannot wait to hear the rest of this record and everything this year. So,
cheers, man. Thanks for your time.
And we'll be right back right after this.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Damon Auburn. Special Rewind episode. And now we go just a year later to 2018 when we got to talk about the ins and outs of making Gorillaz the now, as well as the themes of isolation heard in it, recording in hotel rooms, and gun control, as well as a little bit about his other band, The Good, The Bad, and The Queen, and Blur. It's part two of Kyle Meredith with Damon Auburn.
Hey, man.
I was so excited to get a new Gorillaz record and to, still be at the caliber that the now is. Congrats on another fine one, man.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, I never know what people think of it, really, until I speak to somebody. Because they scare me, all those comment things.
Well, you've done a great one here, and I thought I'd ask by, starting with a little bit of the Gorillaz, the cartoon side of it. How close is this, would you call it, to a 2D solo record?
Quite close, really. I mean, it's definitely his universe. I think we wanted to write a record within a record. And the only way we could do that was to sort of zoom in on one of the characters and how they're feeling. Because Humans was such a kind of sort of vast record in that sense. There's a lot of collective history on that, you know?
I mean, I guess a lot's been talked about Humans. There were a lot of guests on that. And this does seem like a bit of a reaction.
I think the wonderful thing about anyone's musical sort of journey is that, one thing leads to another. That's the wonderful thing about it, you know.
I know it's different, and this is way more of a traditional record, but it does seem like it has some relations in the way it's put together to the Fallouts.
I'd say it started with a similar process. Just maybe I'd learned more about how to sort of capture those feelings that I was kind of sort of recording when we were doing Plastic Beach. It's a different time as well, you know, and that always makes. I mean, on this occasion, it felt like it was more urgent to finish it and put it out. Felt like it was important to do that if I was going to come back to America in particular. It had to be a kind of sort of, you know, an emotional response to what the world that the Humans record kind of suggested.
I wanted to ask sort of about the storylines as they go, because during Humans, we were sort of talking about how maybe it was, you know, looked at as one of the the dance party at the end of the world, I think is the phrase that was used. And I kind of wondered.
The end of the world, the end of one world and the beginning of another world, the beginning of the post-truth world.
And that's what I wondered, like, does this pick up the storyline?
Now is it, we're in that world, so you know, in that sense, the now is kind of in a dream, because we're in a dream at the moment, right?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it a dream or a nightmare, but we're in something right now, and it just gets more ridiculous.
No. They're all the same, you know. It's just different outcomes. They're still dreams.
Well, you know, and I'll blur that line between, you know, the artist and
no pun intended
from the character too, because there's a line in the first single where you say, you know, I don't want this isolation, and I thought, yeah. You know, here we are. I don't know, because at one point, the way I pick up on that line is like we are more isolated than ever on our screens. But I also knew that you wrote a lot of these in hotel rooms around the country, and I wondered.
I suppose I don't really think. Yeah, I think maybe it's the views that you get from high elevations that inspired me more than anything with this record in America, because it's just so elevated in so many ways, you know, and there's such kind of different meditations you can take from that. If I'm recording in a room which has a window down on the air conditioning machines on the top of buildings, and the sort of echoey sound of police sirens through the high avenues, you know, it's a different sort of feeling I get than if I'm sort of in Ketchum and looking out looking out on mountains, you know, it's different, but all these amazing elevations. So that's kind of what this record is. That's why it's kind of got that dreamy quality to it, because it does feel like you're disconnected in a sense, isolated.
Let me ask about another line in that song then, maybe in relation to that, because the other one that kind of clued me in was, "That's the ball where we be chained."
That's the now. And in the second verse, it starts with calling the hunter with the rifle. And that's kind of, you know, that's related to isolation in the sense that, you know, the hunter in who lives in the mountains in Idaho has a very different sort of feeling emotionally about guns. A very different part of their psyche there, you know, and yet there's this crazy connection between everywhere and, you know, your sort of the gun laws in America. Just so, in that sense, that's another ball that chains people, you know, that sort of we live in interesting times, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? Just, I know it's a very emotive subject to talk about, but, you know, you were asking me about the lyrics in that song, and, yeah. And I'm just saying they're kind of sort of I'm kind of traveling all the time, and you pick up on vibrations in different places, and you sort of just sort of internalize them, and then sort of exhale, and something comes out, and that's how I sort of work.
I don't want to go off on too many tangents. I was about to say, you know, I'm pro gun law. I think they need to be stricter, and at the same time, I just sent my son away to a summer camp, which is a fish and wildlife thing, and I know that, you know, that's going to be part of that.
I can totally understand it in context of that.
Yeah.
In the sense of that world and that sense of space and, you know, respect, I can totally understand it in that sense. But, you know, it's just the fact that can't sort of be mirrored by what the other aspects of it are. It's just such a difficult subject, isn't it?
No, it's it ain't shaking itself out easy, and I don't suppose that we're going to solve the world's problem.
No.
But
I mean, at the end, when they come out the other end, do they feel like they came in? No, they don't. They've changed. They've metamorphosized into other things. You know.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'll move further down the record.
I enjoy talking about things which I'm not entirely sure I know anything about. They're more kind of instinctive and emotional reactions to things. So I can only kind of sort of work like that with it.
Well, I was gonna pick out one of my favorite songs from it anyway. And it's Hollywood. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs on the record. And I was thinking, like, you know, you've from what you're saying, so here you've come out of the forest, you've come out of the mountains, and now you're right smack in the middle of justice.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what's going on there. Now, I wrote two of the songs on the record in Los Angeles, that one and also the last song, Sukai. Both on the same day. They were recorded in the same place on the same balcony, but just different times of day, obviously. You know, and I'm really into recording where you've got, you know, light, and it's just such different experience to recording inside a studio in the dark, so to speak.
It completely affects even the chords of a song. It sounds like, I mean, you kind of pick up on that, yeah.
And that's why it's possible just to sort of just go into a room and go, right, what we're going to do today, because you just absorb everything that's around you and then work with that. You know, I wouldn't do it. It's entirely sort of generated by what it is. You know what I mean? It's sort of where you go is what it sort of determines what's going to happen. I know that's really obvious, and because you know, that's only one side of it. And then in back in London, I worked with James Ford and Remy, who I'd worked on Humans with, and we, you know, all the songs got a really kind of, they were really investigated, and I don't know, we worked really well and sort of didn't put stuff down to be fussy. We just sort of wanted it to kind of sort of emotionally hit you.
I know that song, you know, it's one of the few songs with guests on it, and you've got Snoop Dogg and you've got
Jamie Principal.
Thank you. But it made me realize, you know, so very few guests, and I thought, is this the first Gorillaz record that doesn't have De La Soul on it?
No, the first one didn't either.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's been a while still. That's
Yeah, I consider them to be totally part of the band. We're family.
Well, again, you know, going back to the idea of a concept of a sort of the 2D solo record, I see now how that fits in. That makes more sense to me now.
Right. Oh, okay. Good. You know, I wanted to put another record out because I had one. Sort of, it's, you know, and I just felt I felt it accompanied the first one and was, I feel strongly about it. I think it's a place which I've sort of, you know, learned to love over a very long period of time. But I feel quite, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those countries where you know, if you spend a lot of time there and you get to know people, you really feel sort of involved.
It does seem like it's easier to make Gorillaz records now than it used to be. Is there a sense that maybe in this light that it won't take so long between releases, or are you even thinking that far ahead?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just finishing literally, well, I'll try to finish it today, but it'll probably be tomorrow or maybe not. Another record that's going to put out at the end of this year, but that's with The Good, the Bad and the Queen.
I mean, you've had a lot of things going on your plate, so I know to juggle one yeah. versus the other. So it's
well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm trying to finish that, and I'm on tour in Europe doing festivals, but I'm coming home in between them. But what should be like, because you're working all weekend doing festivals, and you come home on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and that should be your weekend, but because I've stupidly started and want to totally make this next record right, I've not having any weekends at the moment. It's my own fault.
It usually is for all of us. I do the same thing.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah. Another thing I did want to ask about this record before I pass it up, there's a track called 1%, and someone
yes.
had pointed out that it had ties back to Hostiles from the your solo record, Everyday Robots. And I wanted to see if that was true, if that was an actual thing, if there was a reason.
I think they're probably from a similar sort of world. You know, I mean, it's inevitable, really, isn't it, sometimes? but I didn't write it then. I mean, I wrote that in Zurich, and the 1% refers to the marijuana, which they have legalized in Switzerland. But being Swiss, they've taken everything out of it that's interesting. So it's only got 1% of whatever it is that you have that gives it its potency. So you can buy like a bag just in the supermarket, but it won't do anything.
I mean, that's a interesting phrase though to throw around when you're especially you're talking about America. You know, I mean that 1%. That's two words that got thrown around a lot in the last few years around here, meaning something completely different than what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. I'm just giving you news from Europe about Switzerland.
Appreciate it.
And it's not fake news.
It's not fake news. We need all the real news we can get these days. Honestly,
no. Maybe we just don't need any news. I think that's probably what we need. No news.
Just turn off.
No news. Good. No. Yeah, exactly. Not that you should be saying that because you know you're a radio station, and you know. Yeah. Turn off all your devices. Don't listen to the news. Only listen to music.
I do want to head back in the time machine just a second because 20 years ago, and this ties back in to the new record or just Gorillaz in whole, but 20 years ago, Blur released a remix record called Bustin' and Dronin'. I don't know if you've thought about that or heard it.
No, I haven't listened to it since. What does it sound like? Any good?
No, it is good. And I was just kind of putting it on because I like looking at anniversaries and the big round numbers. And I started thinking, like, given the timeline, and I'd had Graham Coxon on my show recently, too, and we were sort of talking about that era because his first solo record came out that same year. But I started wondering if that was sort of the entryway at all in any way to Gorillaz because of the style of the electronics that you were doing with that.
Maybe. I mean I think the first sort of, you know, I think William Orbit had a huge influence on what I did next, you know. Definitely. And I think up to that point, you know, yeah, maybe that was the first one. I don't know. The one thing always leads to another.
Right, right.
That's for sure.
Graham had said he had remembered, you know, some songs that you were writing around that time ended up becoming Gorillaz songs. And I thought, no, that's so cool because all that was sort of, you know, I know it's hard to pinpoint. Nothing happens just directly. I'm doing this and here we go.
Well, I mean, it's all coming from the same place as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, I see myself like, I think I need to become an app.
An app? You need to become an app.
I need to become an app, yeah.
And how so? Why?
Well, in the sense that, you know, then I can sort of make music with anyone who wants to make music with me. Because I like making music with people.
And you're the one who has to put it under the umbrella of something, of a name.
Oh, my new band's going to be an app.
I kind of like that, you know?
Not a bad idea. I mean, it's maybe not the best idea in the world, but it's not a bad idea for a Tuesday
around 9 o'clock.
Well, I guess what I'm saying as a fan, you know, to keep up with all of your different projects, it'd be kind of nice just to have it under one roof. Like, I'll hit that button, and there we go. There's that sound.
I know. Well, I've always thought I need an algorithm to sort of actually put all the songs, you know, into albums as opposed to sort of bands.
Key for Damon Solo, key for Gorillaz, key for Good, Bad, and Queen, and key for Blur.
Fast song album, fast song album, slow song album, silly album, only listen to once album, another album you only listen to once, you know. I mean, whatever. An algorithm and an app.
Graham did say he was up for another one with you. You've got so much going on, a seemingly bottomless creativity. Oh, does that collaboration still...
I love playing with Graham. He's amazing.
He's on this record, right? He's on this album. He played guitar on Gorillaz.
Yes, there's a very little bit of him, yeah. There is in one of the songs. Yeah, no, I mean, hey man, whenever Graham's around, I'm up for playing music with him.
It's just a different umbrella when you have to call it Blur, but we'll be... by the way, I'm just giving you props there. I loved the Magic Whip, and to know that you all still had such... I'm going to use that word again, magic with each other, the chemistry. That was really fun to hear and everything. So if that happens again in the future, I'll be a...
Well, that's all to Graham's credit, that one. You know, he's the one that salvaged all the stuff, got it going.
In the meantime, the Now is just a great record.
Oh, thank you very much.
I love hearing... Gorillaz come around as often as possible, but you know, luckily, when you're a fan of Damon Auburn, something's bound to be right around the corner, one way or the other.
Yeah, what I really would never like to do is for people to get sick of me. You know what I mean? Because I was putting out too much stuff. So, like, if that starts to happen, can you know, like you do to elderly relatives, can you just put your arm around me nicely and wheel me off, please?
Sure. I'll say sure, but I just don't see it happening. I really don't.
Well, listen, I'm just, you know, preparing for the worst.
I guess keep preparing because whatever, man. I like what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing, and thanks once again for taking the time to let me nerd out on it all and get all of my questions asked.
My pleasure. Nice to speak to you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Part 3 of my Rewind with Damon Auburn. This one found us in 2021, where Damon had just released a solo album, The Nearer the Fountain, More Pure the Stream Flow. We got to talk about the original concept of writing and recording it in Iceland, the vibrations that attract his various projects around the world, also about the childhood drawings that inspired one of the songs, the ghosts that haunt the Tower of Montevideo, and the complicated layers of particles. He also tipped us off at that point on what Gorillaz were up to, which included a Bad Bunny collaboration, and how their song machine started finding some more inspiration in the TikTok era. Oh, and one more thing. The interview begins with him serenading me on my birthday when we happen to be recording this. It's part 3 of Kyle Meredith with Damon Auburn. I don't think it gets any better from that from the rest of maybe the entire year. So that's not a bad. Hey, thank you.
I'm back.
Thank you for that. How are you?
All right. I don't know if it's my screen or my glasses, but one of them's it's the light.
Yeah, just the light from behind you, I think, making that. It's okay with me. It's nice to see you. How are you?
Okay. Where am I talking to?
This is Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, you're in Louisville.
Nice. Right in the epicenter of everything.
I guess. Sure.
Beating heart of America.
Sometimes it just feels like Kentucky in all the ways. Hey, man. Thank you for doing this. Kind of roll right into it, because I know you're on time limit. I got to tell you how much in love with this new solo record I am. Once again, the Nearer the Fountain, the More Pure the Stream. It's really beautiful and dark and a little bit scary sometimes.
Just like me.
Yeah, I don't know. What I noticed about it is there seems to be a more, a direct concentration on the poetry, sometimes in an abstract way. I don't know if that's a good entry point into our interview, but it does seem like that's a thing.
Poetry, do you mean sort of saying something another way?
Yeah, I guess so. It just does seem like there's a different way that you're approaching your lyrics this time around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know, is it more considered? I think it must be a reflection of that period, you know, from like February last year to today, as we're still completely sort of engulfed in the particles. So.
Yeah. Did you... I don't know, what was there anything then that gave sort of the direction, the slow build of these songs, the mood? I mean, it's a definite mood across this record.
Yes. I mean, it comes from the beginning of the whole idea, which was somebody said to me one night, would you like to do anything that you've never got around to doing but always dreamt of doing? And I said, well, I'd love to take some musicians up to Iceland and just stare out of a particular window and sort of just see what happens and play the landscape and how it changes and all the weather patterns that come in and then disperse and transform, metamorphosize. So that was the sort of the beginning of it. And did that three times and recorded all the workshops, and then pandemic arrived and had to sort of just abandon that idea because it was like it didn't work unless we were there and all together, so that just wasn't working. And then I kind of left it for about 8 months or so, and then I really felt in like January that I had to sort of make it into a record and just sort of express how I was feeling.
Yeah.
So in January and February, I took all the sort of recordings from Iceland and then just started writing and making songs over the top of it, really, and tried to keep it in some sort of, you know, arc.
Yeah. There's something about Iceland. I don't know, anytime an artist goes there, I mean, it apparently has such a strong effect on art. I wrote down here, you know, especially how it seems like you do consider the environment so much up there. Like, I've never been to Iceland. What is it about it?
Well, I mean, in America, you can relate to that vastness and space. You've all kind of witnessed that, you know, But I think what's amazing about Iceland is it's an island, you know, and it's also the youngest island on Earth. It's still sort of forming. It's, you know, there's a volcano outside, 40 minutes drive outside of Reykjavik at the moment. There's a huge open fissure and, you know, it's very dramatic. It's like there's a big split in underneath us. And I think just from that, the vibrations that come from something like that, you immediately realize how delicate our relationship is with nature and everything, you know. So it forces you to think about things.
I was I don't know if fair is the right word, but I was comparing this record with your other solo record with Everyday Robots that I have behind me here. And I thought how interesting, you know, these two times that you put your own, just your name, you know, this isn't a Gorillaz record, it's not a Blur record, obviously, anything like that. And you have Everyday Robots that's sort of, you know, as I listened to that one, sort of contemplated our moments in science and a little bit of AI in that world. And then the flip on this with this one is nature.
It's haunted by androids and things like that, definitely.
Yeah, but then to get the flip on this record right here to be so natural, did you mean for them to play together like that?
Well, sort of
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's quite nice when you get that strong contrast, you know?
Yeah. It's even as a coincidence, it works together really well. I love listening to it.
I'm a great believer in coincidence.
Coincidence. What is it, though? You know, when you go looking, you know, so we're talking about Iceland here. You've done projects in Africa. You've done projects that concentrated Asian music.
Africa can't be kind of sort of just, you know, I can call Iceland because it is like a very homogenous society and culture. But Africa is like so complex and varied, you know. Mm. It's just extraordinary amount of cultural kind of magnificence.
Yeah.
Within it. So when you say I've worked in Africa, well, that doesn't mean anything because I haven't worked in Africa. I've worked in parts of it. And I suppose why people feel comfortable, I don't know, and sort of just looking at it as one kind of homogenous thing is because I suppose it is kind of imbued with that like primary vibration for humanity. So okay, I'll let you have it.
Well, I guess I was going for a broader thing there because I bring up the music that you did looking at like Asian music, and what I'm getting to is to be such an artist, a worldly artist in this way, are you looking for something? Like, what are you looking for when you specifically look at a place on earth as you're doing for these various projects, if anything?
They're just all fascinating, you know, and making music, especially, I mean, I think it's the same for anyone, but just as soon as you start overthinking it, it becomes completely moribund. You know, you need to be able to forget yourself. And it's a very kind of mind expanding way to forget yourself by going to and existing as much as you can in different kind of vibrations, you know. And I use vibrations because as far as music's concerned, that's what it is. It's that vibration and then the space between it and the next one, you know. So again, darkness and light and all things monochrome.
Yeah. It's interesting, the vibration thing too, because I think for a lot of people, you know, music that comes out of different parts of the world will sound very, very different. I would imagine that, I don't want to assume anything actually. Do you find that there is a grand meeting ground musically speaking with all the cultures that you've written with?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that to be the truth, you know.
I mean, I know eventually it all comes sort of from the same place.
And
you know,
the only reason I know that is because I get the same feeling everywhere.
Yeah. Which is what
can I define it?
Yeah.
No.
That's fair. That's okay.
There you go.
That's it. I'll take that. Well, I'll pull it back around to this one then. There is a line though, you know, and maybe again I'm looking at it too through the microscope here. There's a line of Royal Morning Blue where you say there's a at the end you talk about the sort of the end of the world, you know, you've got the end of the world with me. That seems like an end of the world place up there.
Yes, exactly. It's not as quite as dramatic as it may sort of feel I've conveyed it, because it is a kind of an ode in a way to Iceland, you know. So the whole song is kind of, it's just about Iceland as a thing.
Right. You did mention having a dark journey while making this record. when you were talking about that, were you just talking about having to go through, as you were saying, the early stuff, the pandemic, and how that all affected the music within this? And I'll say, if it's personal life stuff, I'll go by it.
I was just thinking there was that really dodgy Eurovision film, wasn't there, with Will Ferrell. But the one good thing about it was the Iceland entry. I really like that song.
So, well, there is, and I'm just using the lines again from the songs right here. Am I in prison? I mean, it's the line that starts the cormorant. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many cormorants you get in Kentucky, and indeed, I don't know how many shags you get either.
I'm learning words, a lot of words through your album is, I think, what most of it's about.
The two names that we give to the cormorant is the cormorant or the shag.
Yeah, that word's always meant something very different to me, the shag.
Yeah, so I find it endlessly amusing.
How does a song like Combustion come about? Because that's a fun one.
It is. It's actually part of a much, much longer thing, which I kind of didn't have I don't know. I either was sensible enough to omit or wasn't brave enough to include. It had that kind of vibe, the music, but I'd kind of got hold. My mum had given me all my picture books from when I was like six, over a sort of a 2 or 3 month period. And it was like every day there was the date, and then there was a crayon, one of those cheap crayons that you have, but whole page coloured in, and then it'll be a rocket and someone falling out of a rocket, and then it'll be, this is a rocket, next day it'll be this is a rocket hitting another rocket, you know, and it just got more and more manic, all these pictures, and I thought that'd be brilliant just to sort of verbatim recite this madness of an overexcited child, you know. But I spent like 2 or 3 days, but everyone with me, I just wasn't getting the reaction that I was hoping for, so I just left it, and that's how we ended up with Combustion. Like, it is,
it's still maddening though. I mean, and it easily paints a mood, colors a mood.
Yeah, no, there was enough of the problem was, if I'd have done the other thing, it would have been too distracting in context. I'd just gone off on such a tangent. Mm-hmm. But this way, it's still got that energy, that sort of, you know, the head's about to explode, you know, and that kind of feeling, which you get in Iceland. You switch on the tap, and you get this incredible hot water that's hydrothermal. So all the water is heated naturally in Iceland.
Wow.
And everyone has like steam rooms, and all they do is they just have a lever, just switch, and then it comes from the earth into their houses. And I mean, that's an amazing thing. And they have 7 municipal pools around Reykjavik. And bear in mind, it's only about 200,000, 250,000 people. So you've got these 7 of these big pools, and they're all big heated outdoor swimming pools. And then they have hot tubs, hotter tubs, really freezing cold tubs, steam, sauna, all municipal in 7 parts of the city. And that's what people do in the early evening. They go and swim, sit in hot, really hot water, look at the stars, then get into really cold water, freeze, see how long they can stay in there, and get back in the hot water, you know. But it does afford you a beautiful night's sleep. And there's nothing wrong with that from where I come from, I tell thee.
Well, that's, I think, what I'm getting at with this whole interview too, is like the way you've taken just these feelings, these emotions, these visuals around you, and put them into music. It's not always an easy thing to do. And I think a lot of artists do strive for that. I mean, I'll also bring up, you know, the other instrumental moment on here, Asia. I don't know if I'm coming.
Asia.
Yeah. Like, builds this tension within that song again, that is a little bit frightening and scary, but it makes, especially on that one, it makes the turnaround on the tower of Montevideo that much better.
Yeah. No, it's a relief, isn't it?
Right. It's exactly, like, as a relief.
But the problem is that it's that's about ghosts, that that. Uh-huh. So it's even scarier, really. You sort of, it's actually the introduction to a horror movie.
But it feels good, so that's,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly, but it's one of those horror, yeah, but you, if you got the visual as well, it'd be a perfect start to a horror movie, because you know what I mean.
Right. Well, yeah. It all comes back around.
Today, you know.
What's that?
That's how I feel about it today, but tomorrow I might feel that I'm actually on a cruise ship in just outside Montevideo. I'm looking at the lighthouse on the top of the tower of Montevideo that can, when it was working, could reach Buenos Aires across the River Plate. Huge, great expanse of water, big delta. Just to think that in the 1930s, they had something like that, and there was a huge, great cinema inside this tower block, and there was a big ballroom. It's a very decadent place, and it's got a lot of, I don't know, it's really inspired me. It's cool. It's beautiful. Anyone should check it out.
You know? Yeah.
Beautiful building. Really beautiful.
I learn a lot through your records, especially about geography. That's true. That really is true.
That's great. That's no bad thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll just quickly say about the end of the record, too. I mean, coming back during Particles, and we get the fountain and the way, again, the whole album has sort of flowed like water in that way. And I do love how you bring that all back around. And is the ending sort of an answer to the title track at the beginning?
Yeah, has to be, doesn't it? You know, when we disperse, you know, I was thinking today, it's like, well, I kind of, all the things that I'm singing about in that song Particles, because it is quite complicated. It's kind of a conversation with a female rabbi from Winnipeg, then sort of a kind of a moment with the Northern Lights, and then, yeah, it's just the whole idea of particles and the fact that you never really leave a situation. Most of you leaves, but some of you doesn't leave, and it right. becomes part of that reality and experience for some other thing that passes through those particles. Love that idea.
Yeah. And we talk about that a lot with especially radio and how my voice.
I was thinking that, you know, in like medieval, well, actually just everywhere, people have very significant ancestral kind of pieces, you know, whether it's a piece of bone or a piece of cloth or, you know, a stone that was touched by somebody or anything. But it's that's the kind of sort of ecstatic thing that the you know, if they touch these things, they were somehow kind of, you know, smearing some of the particles of the previous and great incumbent, and then like wiping it on themselves, you know, like a kind of spiritual emollient.
It's the same reason why I touch the walls of places when I'm around it. You just, for that connection to the past, for me.
Precisely, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's beautiful the way you've all done this. I mean, seriously, it's such an interesting record. So my compliments there.
Thank you very much.
And yes. In the meantime, we're also spinning a lot of the new Gorillaz EP with the Meanwhile EP, and that's such a fun one. I've heard you're working. Is what you're working on the next version of the? Are you working on season two, basically?
Well, I'm trying to do something. I feel like I've got this Bad Bunny tune, which I think is really interesting, and we recorded in a storm in Jamaica, and kept the doors open so that we could hear the storm all the way through the recording. And it's got a really nice atmosphere about it, and I feel like I'd just like to sort of explore that world a bit more for the next thing. Now, whether that's a season two, I mean, but the season two would have to be on TikTok, wouldn't it? Now it's just like it's not viable to be making those huge great videos anymore. So I think everything's just got to go. So Jamie's just got to start going, and then I think we'll be fine. But I think it's moved on to other platforms other than YouTube, isn't it? Really, the dissemination of new music.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to move the times, man.
Yes, you do. You've done a good job of that. I like what you're saying about that Bad Bunny, too, because it sounds like what you were doing with this album is sort of infiltrating what you might be doing with the next one, too, just with nature being allowed within the songs. That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's important as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So. Well, I love what you do. Obviously, I'm a fan, and I will continue to listen. Thank you so much. And thank you for the birthday song too. That was huge.
There you go. I mean, you know, I hope you recorded that.
Luckily, I hit record right before the camera went over. So yeah.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, lots of love. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy birthday.
And there it is, three interviews with Damon Auburn. Thanks to Damon for all the conversations, and thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do be sure to hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Of course, you can find us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show, Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s, the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows, in fact, featured some classics and favorites from the Foo Fighters, Tori Amos, The Breeders, Primus, Gorillaz, Josh Ritter, Erykah Badu, Washed Out, Saltz, Neil Young, The Minutemen, Blonde Shell, and my interview with Jeff Ament of Pearl Jam. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.